Right. I know. That's why I got you. What's going on? Welcome back to the Dog Whisperer Podcast. I have the pleasure of sitting down with one of the most decorated masters track and field runners on this earth. And luckily for me, I get to call her a friend, a sister. I get to celebrate with her and watch her, you know, accomplish over the years. Miss Easter Grant is in the building with us today. How are you doing, Easter?
Oh, I'm doing good.
You just got done with what, indoor nationals or worlds?
Worlds. I got done with indoor worlds and Toron, Poland.
Yeah. You got what, second in the 100, right?
Yeah, I got the silver medal in the 60 meter, and I have the gold medal in 4x200 meter. So,
yeah, world champion.
Woo! Finally.
So that was your last race in the 35 division?
Yes, last race.
And so now you're moving up to the big 4-0 division.
Yep. On to the next division.
All right. So before we get going on, you know, what's in the future for you, when did you start running track? Like, when did track become like a passion for you and you knew that you wanted to go, like, take it to this level?
I couldn't say elementary, but I didn't get too into track until middle school. But elementary, I kind of lit the, you know, spark a little bit because we used to have these little junior type, Olympic type games on fun days in elementary. And, you know, I'd go out there and do a little, few little sprints, but, you know, I didn't really get into track like that until probably middle school. And from middle school on to high school, of course, high school on to college. And yeah, so I'll say probably when I was in middle school where I started to get a bigger interest in track and field.
Okay. So you end up going to, you went to UAH to run track for college, right?
Yes.
And how did that go? Like, did that continue the passion for you, or after you graduated college, were you kind of done with it, or how did that work for you?
UAH, of course, I was a scholarship athlete. So I would say it continued it in a bit, but at that time I was more probably in between, like I'm trying to graduate and I'm trying to do track at the same time. But I would say that I didn't get more back really interested in running until sometime after I finished college. Even though I enjoyed it in college, but I feel like after college is when I was like, hey, I think I can get back into this. So
yeah. So how long after college did you wait before you got back involved with track and field?
As far as me personally running, coming back to the sprints, what I usually do, it probably took like probably a little over a decade before I came back. But in somewhere in that time, I was, you know, doing coaching and I was just working speed camps and things like that in between. So track was never too far behind, but I wasn't personally getting back into track and field until like a little over a decade. Okay, so.
So what brought you back to running? Like, how did you find out about the Masters division? And like, what brought you back to doing it?
What brought me back? I had a coworker at the time, who so happened to be my coach at UAH, one of the coaches at UAH, when I was there. We ended up working together. He did Masters track.
Okay.
So that's where I learned about it. I wasn't old enough at the time to do Masters track. So, cause in the USA, you have to be, at that time, you had to be 30 years old. I was probably like 26, 7, something like that. But yeah, I heard about it through him and I just, you know, I kept on doing what I was doing at the time. But yeah.
Did you start running right when you turned 30, or how long did you wait? Like once you hit the qualifying age?
I did not start at 30. I started 31 because, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on at 30. So I was like, so,
yeah.
But even in that time, before I came officially came back to sprinting, I was actually doing a lot of road races. I'm distance running at that point. I did multiple half marathons and 5Ks, 10Ks before I came back to actually sprint. So, yeah, I think at 30 I was still finishing up my last half marathon or something like that. But after that, I was like, okay, that's enough. Let's go on back to what I'm used to doing, which is sprinting. So I officially came back at 31.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So did you do a full season that year, your first year?
I did.
How did that first year go?
It was interesting. It was very interesting. Let's not discuss that. I'm just playing. Yeah, it was an eye-opening experience for me that showed me maybe I need to I thought I was going to quit after the first season, but then I was like, you know what? Let me just re-examine some things and see what I could do the next season. So
yeah.
That first season was like, whew, uh-uh.
Yeah. So then the comeback that second season, was that when you started winning? Like the second season, was it when you started really getting on the stand?
Let's see, 32. Yeah, that was 32 was probably my first breakout because I started, you know, getting the feel for the competition, getting the feel for how I need to train at the time, and, you know, just starting to slowly put pieces together. But I did have a better season that year. So,
So when did you get to start doing races with Team USA in the Masters?
I started doing races with Team USA probably around 34. And at that point, that was just regional meets. That was just me being Team USA on the regional level, because to actually go to the world level, the World Masters Athletic Championships, you had to be 35. So, but they do have a regional where you can be 30 and you can participate in that. And then 35, and of course, 35, that's the big deal. The big world championships of Masters right there. So, yeah.
Okay. So last year, outdoor worlds, and then this year, indoor worlds. Were these your first two worlds, or have you been before?
No, they weren't my first two. Matter of fact, this one, Torin, the one that just passed, I actually went to Torin prior in 2019. And that was actually a breakout season for me as well, because that was my first world indoor, and I medaled in all my races. So yeah, so I've been to probably four world championships at this point. Yeah.
Okay. So what else is there for you to do? Now you're in the 40 division. So is this a new chapter for you? Like, are you kind of resetting your goals, or is this kind of like a continuation of what you've already been doing?
I think it's a little of both. That I wanted to say continuation, but then it's kind of research set as well, because this is like a new division.
Yeah.
Something new to conquer, something new to, you know, to know and see where I fit in as an athlete, as whatever level I'm at this point. So I'm gonna say it's not a total start over. It's but you know, starting over as in, hey, I got to probably you get some new goals
Right.
and you know, 'cause the training there. So
Right.
I'm just like, what do I want to do in this next division to keep that keeps me motivated and keeps me challenged?
Right. So would you be in the 40 division for this current outdoor season, or are you finishing up still in the 35 division?
No, I'll be 40. Devil
It's 40.
Torin was the last 35.
Okay. So now we're in the outdoor season, the 40 division. So when's your next meet for outdoor?
I am thinking my next meet will be at the end of this month at hopefully at the end of this month at Penn Relays. So
Ooh.
that's probably where I want to open up at least my 100 meter.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I'm thinking for now.
Okay. So Penn, that's one of the bigger ones. So
Yeah.
you're gonna be out there. You think you're gonna get on the line with some of the
Gonna be in my same age group.
That's what I'm waiting for. I want to see you go on the line, and race one of these 18, 19 year olds. Let them see, what you got.
What do you think I've been doing these past few years?
I know, I want to be there. I want to be in the house and see it. I want to see you race your
Like,
car.
come on now. Well, no. That's hilarious. No. Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be in that division. So, yeah.
Okay, so what do you think as far as outside of actually running, what do you want to get involved with, to kind of give back to, your sport and to the young ladies and young men that are coming up that, do watch you and see what you're able to accomplish?
I've been at this point I've been joining in some of the committees as far as the USATF organization is concerned. So I'm trying to get more involved on that front, just becoming more than just an athlete. So that's one thing. And of course, I have my Instagram where I provide motivation, inspiration, and things like that. And I mean, I guess I want to go back to like coaching a little bit. So I guess that can motivate and inspire other athletes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like you want to coach at a high school, college, or would you think of like maybe AAU where you could kind of, or USATF, summer track?
I'm probably thinking on the youth level of trying to get that section, because they more impressionable than someone that's at the college level or whatever. Even though you can inspire and help people at the college level, I feel like it'll be bit more beneficial for the youth
Right.
level. So, yeah.
I could see a summer track program named after you, Spring of Bells. I can see little red and cream uniforms running around the track.
It was gonna be Krispy Kreme uniforms. Everything
Got
gotta be Krispy Kreme.
it ain't pink and green.
Oh no, now see, you going a little too far right now. You going a little too far. And
I
no.
mean, I can see it either being the crimson or cream, or you're gonna have something purple.
Yep, you right. Something purple.
It's gonna be
Some
one of
purple.
the two. And I definitely, just as long as I've known you, just watching you at our age, of course you are a little more older. You
But
don't
wait,
see.
what you trying to say? What you trying to say? I don't appreciate that.
You don't see us, getting out there at that level. It takes a lot for us to even just work out at all. But to go out and compete at that level, I think that a lot of people don't see just how much work that takes. You know, because you look at the videos, you make it look easy. You know, and sometimes you may fall into a situation where the women in your heat aren't even close to you. But I think they still fail to realize what kind of shape you're in, you know, the way you work out, how much you work out, how your body, you know, goes through these, you know, the pain and the, you know, the pulls and stuff like that. What would you say as far as just talking about like your process, like how you work and kind of how you go about setting up your seasons and setting up your workout regimen throughout the year?
I would say I have to, at this point, especially being 40 years old, I have to make sure that I am listening more to my body at this point. Because at this point, like years prior, I could have ran a whole bunch of meets and been good. Now I'm at a point where, hey, I can only do probably like a certain amount of meets before my body be like, nope, you done for the season or whatever. So I have to keep that in mind when I'm planning my season, and I need to be planning like what for the important meets first. Basically, the only meets I really have that are important, of course, national meets, the national ones, and if it's a world meet, like the one that just passed Worlds. So I need to make sure that whatever I'm doing that season, that is catered toward the ultimate goal. And of course, like I said before, my body, because I'm not a college kid. I may have a college body or whatever, but I'm not a college kid. So I have to, you know, I have to modify stuff. Like I can't go 5 days a week on the track. My body will break down immediately. So it's like, as far as training, I have to be mindful of that at times. And sometimes I just forget. I forget sometimes and I end up paying for it. So yeah, it's a lot of factors at this point that go into it. Like, yeah.
And do you stick to a certain nutritional plan like during your season, or do you kind of just wing it sometimes?
Wing it. I try to, at this point, I try to stick to a certain plan for me. Right. Of course, I'm not perfect. And I will have something that I'm not used to having, but hey, you know, it's all good. We make mistakes. So yeah, but most of the time I try to stick to a certain plan for myself.
Okay. And what about in the off season? Do you stick to that, or you kind of just let yourself have fun? And
I'm a little more relaxed in off season. You know, not really strict. Technically, I'm not really strict in season either. What was that? What's that?
I know. Oh. I got videos of the pantry ratings.
Now, you have to say all that, man. You have to say all that. But, I mean, as long as I know how to fit it in.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say I have a strict nutrition plan, but I have a certain plan I like to stick to stay at a certain level. So.
All right. So what would you say to the young lady behind you that is maybe finishing up college?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I get what I did right there. But she's behind. You know, she's back there. No, but she's finishing up college, and she's not. You know, she probably won't go run professionally right away. You know, she isn't hitting those qualifying times probably. But what would you say to her as far as, you know, kind of being patient and still coming back to it, you know, years down the line, to be able to compete in that master's division?
I would say that, like, I'm just sorry, like, echo what you first said. You have to have patience in this, because I didn't come, I know a lot of people look at me at this point and think, like, wow, she's really fast and such stuff. Yeah. But what they don't realize is it took me a few years to get to where I am. And it took me modifying a lot of stuff. Yeah. It took me, you know, finally finding something that works for me. Because when I first started back, I was not exactly training myself at that point. I was with a training partner. We trained together. Then eventually we stopped training together. And then I started training myself.
Yeah.
And it was probably when I started training myself and figuring stuff out for myself that I started going this way, up that way. Not to say that prior to that I wasn't, because no, I'm just being honest, I was still winning then, but it was a different type of win back then than it is now. I'm getting faster and faster with age. And that started when I personally started taking over my own training. So okay. I would tell that person that you have to be patient, and you can't really look at another athlete. So I'll use myself. You can't really look at me, because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I do. So you really have to come into this thing and focus on yourself.
Right.
So,
I mean, that's the beauty of track and field. For the most part, it's an individual sport. You know, you have your relays, but for the most part, you get to kind of focus on you and what you need to do to better yourself and your race and compete for yourself.
Because in the end, it's all about the best version of yourself.
Yeah. So, I like that. The best version of yourself. That might be the title right there. So what's next? Okay, Penn Relays, end of this month. When's the national meet for outdoor?
Sometime in July. I don't know the exact dates because I forgot. But it's in July. It's in North Carolina. So basically, that's what I'm really training up to. But I'm going to have some fun in between there because I'm 40. But, yeah.
You are 40. 40.
Okay, you ain't got to say it that many times now.
I don't know if you realized it, you know, that you're 40.
I think I realized it.
You're the only one on this podcast right now that has a 4 and a 0.
Yeah, because you have a 6 and a 0. I understand it. That is awesome. I mean, I understand, because since you have a 6 and a 0, yeah.
I'm about to have a 6, yes, after a 3.
A 6 and a 0.
It's amazing, you know, what you do. You know, how you can raid the pantry on Tuesday and then run a 25 in the 200 on Saturday. That's
crazy. Wait, now. I ran 24 at this point now. We failed.
Oh, you did. You're right.
Failed tonight now.
Hey, maybe it's
the pantry. That's why I ain't been over. And they're raiding the pantry. You know I like chips.
I know. That's why they stay in there. Until you get here.
Like, where the chips at?
But, yeah, most definitely, though. I definitely, you know, I'm motivated by you. You know, and I'm inspired by you, but definitely very proud, you know, of everything you're accomplishing, you know, and then also very proud of your transparency. You know, you have a track meet and you have something that doesn't go the way that you anticipated to go, and you get online and you share that, you know, with everyone, because everybody's waiting to see, you know, how your race went. You know, mm-hmm. We love you on the, you know, stand and, you know, holding, you know, putting the medal around your neck, but also being able to share those moments where it didn't go the way that you expected, you know.
Right.
I'm just sharing that, and then the accountability. You know, you don't say, "Oh, well, this person did this, and then this person did this." It's always, you know, what I didn't have the best day. You know, this happened, but back to the drawing board.
Yeah, because people always. I guess that's why people like me for the transparency, because I feel like when you out here, you should show every part of track and field. That matter of fact, if you're going to call yourself an influencer, a motivator, like I guess at this point, that's what I am. You need to be transparent. You need to show all the dimensions. It's cool when I'm winning, but what am I going to do when I'm that losing or whatever, something didn't go right? I need to put that same energy into when I'm down,
right,
as well as when I'm up. Right. And I think people respect the person when they're just, they not, you know, that I don't want to say we're being fake, but if y'all, you showing that you winning, winning, winning all the time and missing out on the parts where you can, you know, show people the real side when you're down, and they can learn lessons, and they can see that you've learned lessons from that. I mean, it makes them feel better about what they're doing, and makes you seem more real to them.
Right. And it makes what you're doing feel like it's more obtainable. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I could probably do it if I know that, hey, when I got out there, my leg cramped up and I had to, you know, sit down for a couple of days. But the same thing happened to Easter, you know, and she got past it. She worked through it and then she soared. So it gives me kind of that motivation. Like, well, I can keep going. I can do it. So
right. Because you're not going to have the perfect race. You're not going to have the perfect game. You're not going to have the perfect thing every day. So be able to show when you're not having a perfect game, when you're not having a perfect day. What do you do? Where did you learn from it? So that's just how I feel on it. I'm like, people shouldn't be, if I call myself this influencer, this motivator, this whatever, I need to be able to show you every part, no matter whether it's good or whether it's bad. Because matter of fact, in Poland, I had a bad race in Poland. So I put that out there. but yeah, all well that ends well. So it is what it is.
Absolutely. And you learn from it, you know, you come back, you get better, and then you go and you run the fastest times that you ever ran. So I mean,
that's pretty fast.
Definitely. So would you like to leave the people that will watch this with anything? Like, what would you like to say to the people watching as far as where you're looking to go next? Like, what's next for Easter?
Oh man, nothing but up from here. I can't even tell you where I want to go with this, because honestly, I think I've done what I wanted to do with as far as where all my goals, everything that I wanted to accomplish when I first came back to Master Track, I already accomplished. So at this point, I'm just having fun.
Right.
So I'm just trying to say, okay, I'm already at this level. Let's see how high I can go. So I'm kind of excited about now. Let's see what the 40-year-old person can do.
Right.
So if I'm out there whooping a college kid, hey, you know, it is what it is, you know.
I'm going to send an email to Allison Felix and see if we can get a race set up.
No, don't play with me. I mean, there's no way I'm racing Allison Felix.
Well,
I'm a fan.
But since she's retired, you know, it's time for her next chapter. I feel like an Easter Grant Allison Felix race.
No.
Maybe would be.
I'd probably be standing out if I was standing next to Allison Felix. Look at my
You got to be ready to race. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I understand that, but it's Allison Felix, man. What do you want me to do? Just stand there with a straight face? Be like, hey, Allison, No.
Yeah. After, when you get done racing, then you can fan out after you beat her.
Okay. Allison, he said that. I ain't say that. If you so happen to see this podcast, he said it. Not that. He instigated it. You know, I just said, I'm going to be like, but yeah. So I just need you to know that he said that. Easter Grant didn't say that.
We're going to set it up. I'm going to figure out a way to set this up. We're going to set this up. I feel
set
like,
up for it and do what?
If, okay, so you run a 150, she runs a 200. No, you run a 175, she runs 200, because giving you 50 meters, that's just crazy. So 175, she runs 200. There we go. Even playing
field. But she has a Felix. So I'm just saying.
How much? That's not fair. Because you run a good 24.
But that's Allison Felix, though.
But you run a 24, what, 24.8, 24.9?
7.
24.7. That's too much. 50 meters?
Yeah.
That's crazy. She would have to run a 20.
No, she wouldn't. She'll be all right. Allison, you'll be all right, girl. You'll be all right. You'll still catch me.
I'm going to definitely email her, though. I don't know if she'll ever see it, but I'm going to send an email to her team and see if I can set this charity chat meetup. She might not run, but maybe she'll come and show her face.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We've been talking to Easter Grant. It was a pleasure, you know, being able to kind of hear some of her backstory, you know, see some of the stuff that she's done. Easter, tell them where they can find you at on social media.
You can find me at Sprint2Fitness_EB on Instagram, or on Facebook, you can find me at Sprint2Fitness.
All right, y'all go and add her, follow her. She does post daily. She gives a lot of motivation. She tells some, you know, funny stories. She does some little funny videos. She's a straight influencer out here in these Huntsville community streets. So definitely go follow her. Anything else you want to leave them with, Easter?
No, I think we've covered it all. And you just set me up with a race I ain't asked for. But, yeah, that's great.
Hey, if it comes to fruition, you'll be thanking me, because that is going to get a lot of press here in Huntsville. There'll be a lot of people out there watching that race.
For what? Because I ain't going to race. They're going to be watching her. If you don't give me 150 meters, I know that.
Now, all right, we'll set up the logistics. If she responds, we'll set up the logistics.
Okay, sure.
All right, it's been real with Easter Grant. Thank y'all for tuning in. It's the Star Whisper Podcast.